Now that you know those gamer moves, it's time to take a swing on the dance floor. Our lovely match volume producer, Megan Coyle, took a ride on a time-traveling elevator. It was making scary noises as if it was actually from the 1940s. She arrived at the Lindy Loft, a space that serves as the dance studio and home of two internationally renowned swing dancers.
All right, can you go ahead and say your name for me?
Yeah, Sarah Breck.
And your name?
Jax Hawk.
How did you get into swing dancing?
I was 12 years old, or maybe younger than that, 10 years old, and I had been doing a little bit of cotillion and ballet as a kid, but I was watching a documentary on television of a man, Frankie Manning, and he was teaching this dance called the Shim Sham. It's kind of a staple line dance for swing dancing, and I just remember jumping on the couch and dancing with him to the TV and screaming and yelling, and my mom, as amazing as she is, she found a kids program that summer to
enroll me. Cool. What about you?
I was in high school, and swing was becoming very popular in Los Angeles, trickling down to Orange County, and I was fortunate enough to be at one of those high schools that had an after-school program for Lindy Hop. However, I was invited to that by some friends, and I didn't really give it much thought. So I didn't end up going. What ended up happening was swing blew up at my high school, and then once it got really big, it was kind of hard to ignore, and then I ended up trying it out, and I was scared of dancing for my life. I probably would run the other way when my girlfriend and her friends would start dancing. But then when I tried it, it was so much fun, and it was really simple, and the movement was just kind of, I don't know, goofy and easy for me to mess around with, and then I got into it from there.
And how did you guys get the opportunity to go to Istanbul to teach swim dancing?
This is our third year going, and this guy Hakan is a longtime student of Dax's. And Dax has a lot more experience with this because he's been teaching internationally since he was 16 or 17.
And what was it like teaching there this year?
You know, we were really concerned about the refugee situation, and there's been a lot of press about that. Because you were thinking of the refugees, you did tend to pay attention a little bit more to just like regular homeless gypsy families and stuff like that. So
it was almost calmer than last year in the sense of, I remember last year, or not 2 years ago, there was a lot of riot police protests going on. There wasn't this year.
That was really interesting, actually, the year before, because they were doing a lot of there was a lot of rioting going on at Taksim Square. And we were literally like, we'd finish teaching a dance class, we'd go downstairs in the street, there'd be police and barricades and stuff and people rioting, and it was safe, but not safe. I mean, of course, a situation like that is always questionable, but it was pretty intense. But at the same time, what's really interesting is you have this community of swing dancers, and they love dancing so much, and they're not really afraid to be adventurous and go to cities with, I mean, things like that going on, and they're over there dancing, and other people are over there rioting, and it was kind of like, you know, a big happy mix.
What are like the challenges of teaching like people, you know, maybe who aren't American? Is there any like moves or any like concepts that they like have a hard time grasping and swing dance?
I would say the hardest challenge is just learning how to communicate what you want to do when you don't speak their language. Sometimes that can get frustrating. We'll teach a whole class without speaking, and a lot of students are used to, even English speakers, they're used to being told what to do all the time, and it can get really frustrating, but it's also a really powerful learning tool.
What can you do if you don't speak English and like they're not getting it just by watching you? What do you do?
So we use a lot of visual explanations. So we'll say a word like jump while we jump instead of just saying the word jump or just jumping. We also use like certain things to explain concepts. So if we're trying to talk about stretch, which is a really abstract feeling in the dance, we would get a rubber band and we would like a big one of those fitness rubber bands, and we'd wrap it around our bodies and move away from each other and like let people watch that and try to, so they can see the feeling that we're trying to go for.
Can you guys describe like your favorite swing dancing move?
I think almost everyone's favorite move is the swing out.
Yeah,
but it's almost this kind of like slingshot feeling, and you really like work off each other, and it can feel as light as a feather or as tough as you want it to feel.
Like she was saying, it has just a very elastic type of feel, and it whips around really powerfully, which allows us to dance to really fast music, and you'll get a song which will be going like, we're doing tack, do tack, do 6, 7, and you do stretch away, then you whip in on counts 3 and 4, and then you shoot her back out on 5, 6, and then like kind of hang out on 7, 8, 1, 2, which creates a really cool feel. So if you kind of like could imagine two people like playing tug of war, it'd be like tug of war, whip around, smoothly go into tug of war again and hang there for a little while, and it just keeps repeating itself. It's really a unique variation. You won't find anything like that in another dance.
What was your favorite country to teach in?
I have a love-hate relationship with teaching in Seoul, Korea.
Yeah.
Because the scene there is huge. There's actually like 10,000 dancers and maybe 5 or 6 clubs running dance nights every night of the week. And it's kind of a rare phenomenon there, but it's really intense. You know, you will have a queue of people lining up to dance with you like you're an amusement park ride.
Why is it so popular? Like, why does it have
awesome.
Because it's fun!
What I think is cool about the dance is you can be yourself in it. You can be sexy, you can be awkward, you can be fun, you can be aggressive, you can be passive. It really fits a lot of different people's personalities, mm-hmm. and I think it's usually a very socially accepting environment and atmosphere.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that would, even me, I would get totally intimidated trying to like go to a salsa club. But for Lindy Hop, it's just different. It's more welcoming and just the natural nature. I'm not saying the people, just the natural nature like of the dance.
Okay, cool. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I would say, but beyond what Sarah said, if you just look at the activity itself, it's kind of one of those activities that's pretty easy to just do in a simple way, but if you really get into it, it's a lifelong process, and it never has like a tangible end. There's always steps, more steps you're learning, more songs you're discovering, and there's so many facets to it. You have history, you have like the physical exercise, creativity, challenge yourself, learning new things, and also the fact that it's a partner dance makes it a social dance. And because it's a social dance, like that's what people are striving for, is like get out, exercise a little bit, meet some people, socialize, listen to music. All that stuff is just happening every day in swing dances.
Maybe Megan and I can get Dax and Sarah to teach us how to swing. I already have the perfect dress. Well, that's it for this edition of Match Volume.